Well, good morning. This is different, isn't it? Having the message before we've done anything else. But that's how we are this morning. As believers, as followers of Christ, do we ever look to give ourselves assurance that we are followers of Jesus? Do we ever sort of allow people to judge us whether we are followers of Jesus or not? Because Paul, in the verses we've just listened to, is addressing that problem. Because in that church there, in Colossae, there was a mixture of Gentile and Jew, and maybe they were jostling for position, maybe they were jostling for what they thought was important. And there was discord, and there was difference of opinion. And what Paul is saying this, if you are a Jew who's found your Messiah, Christ, and you want to follow the dietary laws and you want to observe the holy days and the feasts, don't let anyone judge you and stop you from doing that. Then he says to the Gentile, if you want to take on some of that as well, because you want to sort of relate to the Jew, don't let anybody judge you on that either. But then he also says to the Jew who knows Christ, don't judge the Gentile believer who doesn't feel the need to do that. So what he's actually saying when he says, let no one then pass judgment on matters of food and drink, festivals, new moon and Sabbath, he's telling both people, just live together. Get on with each other. But that's not my sort of main thought this morning, because we don't really come up against that like Paul did in Colossae. But what I want us to look at this morning is this. Because we want to be followers of Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to love him and live for him. And we've seen, as we've looked at these verses in Colossae so far, that the enemy, his one aim is to stop you living for Christ. His one aim is to stop you having a righteous and holy life. His one aim, if he can, because he's a liar and a thief, is to rob you of the life that Jesus has given you. That's what he wants to do. And so we've looked at so far sort of doctrinal things about the gospel, about Jesus. Then he said, this is another tactic I've got. And this one works really well. It worked in Colossae because the Jews were telling the Gentiles that they need to observe the things. The Gentiles were telling the Jews they shouldn't observe these things. And Paul says, don't judge anyone. Don't let anyone judge you concerning these things. If you've got a conviction of the Holy Spirit, go with it. And Paul's saying, because if you start following what other people tell you, and you therefore think that your confidence and assurance in being saved is observing or not observing, you've missed the point. Your confidence, your assurance that you're a believer and a follower of Jesus is not whether you observe these things or not. You've been given life. You've been forgiven. And he says, don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anybody rob you of what God has put into your heart. And then the second thing where he says, don't let anyone judge you. And this one I'm perhaps going to base up because it seems to relate more. Whether you are a Christian or not, based on your spiritual experience. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Because we do live today with a lot of judgmental people. They don't mean to be judgmental. They are. And we all do it, if we're not careful, on a daily basis. I'm not a lover of social media. Who's a lover of social media? Who loves it? Nobody. But what I get when I talk to people get upset if they don't get a like. People get upset how people perceive them, how they judge them, and how people at the moment are putting themselves under the judgment of others. And it's all done. And what Paul is saying, you shouldn't be influenced. You should be influenced by the Holy Spirit. You should be influenced by the Word of God. You should be influenced by what is being taught truthfully. And we live in a dangerous day where people are allowing, see, I'm going to rephrase Paul, sorry about this, where he says, let no one then pass judgment. Let no one pass judgment on you on the internet. Let nobody pass judgment. And it's full of it. I don't do this, but if you look at it, there are people passing judgment on believers all the time on the internet. And people get robbed because they believe some of this stuff. And they get robbed of their life in Jesus. And so there was a danger in Laodicea and Colossae that people would look for acceptance and confirmation outside of Jesus, outside of the life that he'd given them, outside of forgiveness of sin. And therefore we need to see this morning, I think there is something that if we put everything we've learned together so far, we could come up with this. Since we have circumcised hearts and we are buried with Jesus in baptism, we have been made alive in him. God has pardoned our transgressions. He's forgiven us. He's wiped out the handwritten recording of everything we've done wrong. The sins that we've done against God were nailed to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers. Now you've been set free. Why do we allow people to judge us and try to rob us of everything that God has done for us? And so we come to this. There's a lot of emphasis today, isn't there, on spiritual experience. And this is what there was in Colossae. People were saying there, oh, I see visions. I talk to angels. I talk to the Old Testament saints. I do this, I do that. And and I don't know if you read it, but it said there in verse 18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, because they delight in all this experience. What does that mean for you and me? I think it means this. Do you ever watch videos, or you've been in a conference? I'm just going to give you an example of worship, because how this can rob us. Because when we watch these videos, I wonder, do we sometimes think, wow, they really know how to worship? And we get this idea that worship is loud and worship is noisy and worship is emotional and worship pulls on the old heartstrings and worship. That's how you worship. How did we ever get to that state where we think that worship has to be emotional, where worship just has to be carried away? Doesn't matter what you're singing, as long as you have a worship experience. And why I'm saying people get robbed of their life in Jesus is this: they look at that and they think, I don't worship like that. I don't have that passion. I don't get emotional. Oh, I can't be a worshiper. There must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with my relationship with Christ, because I don't worship like that. Oh, these people who tell me that when they get together with Christians, they see lights flashing and they see angels standing there with big swords. And I'm thinking, well, I never see that. What's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. Don't let them rob you. Jesus said that he was looking for people who worship him in spirit and in truth. Because there are some things you should judge. And sometimes, not always, when these people, and you think, wow, they know how to worship. They're not singing to words that glorify Christ. They're not singing to things that are true to the Bible. Oh, but they can raise their hand. Some of them, by the way, are not even believers. So what I'm trying to say is, don't judge by what people now think worship is. Worship, someone's got this title, I'm going to have to listen to the sermon, it says, I've forgotten it now, and the title goes something like this: worship is more than the songs we sing. I think that's a great title. Worship is more. And Paul at Colossae, you see, he said there is a problem with people. They're telling you, you're not a true believer. either because you do follow dietary laws or you don't follow dietary laws. And boy, you haven't got the right spiritual experience. You don't know what it is to worship an angel. You don't know what it is to talk to an angel. You don't know what it is to see these visions. Boy, are you sure you're saved? No wonder Paul says, don't let anybody rob you of your prize. The word rob, by the way, is sort of equal to us showing the red card, getting sent off. And what Paul is saying, don't let anybody say you're not in the race because you haven't had these visions and you haven't had these experiences. And the other thing they said, and you don't beat your body up and you don't go in for these all these great things so you can become more spiritual. Paul is saying, they're a waste of time. You should be following Christ. He's giving you life and life to the full and a life that is vibrant and a life. And what the enemy does, he gets you to think you're not saved. He gets you to think you're not worthy of Christ. He gets you to think, oh, you're not a worshipper. I want to tell you, you can sit in silence and be worshipping him in spirit and truth. You don't have to dance. You don't have to clap. You don't have to raise your hands. Where did we get that worship had to be so in a box? Where did that come from? Where now I have met people who say that they go to a church not for the truth, but for the worship experience. They'd rather leave a church that taught truth, but go to a church where they have a worship experience. Where was worship meant to meet our need and not his? When was worship meant to be about us and not him? And therefore, you get it. And what I'm trying to say this morning is if people, or you watch these things and you put yourself down, you think, well, I don't worship like that. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. If you love Jesus and you worship him, raising your hands, wonderful. If you don't, wonderful. Do you see what Paul is saying? Paul's saying there ain't no rules. There are some things, there are no rules. And yet we want to make them. And the trouble is, we then make it that this is what it means to be a Christian. To be a follower of Christ, you have to worship like this. No, you don't. Have you ever felt inferior and imposter? Faith not real when you looked at what other people experienced? When they were always talking about their encounters with God, and by their words and actions, they can rob you. They want to give you a red card. You know, in what Paul says there, the Colossians, it's a false sense of him. They do it because they're humble. Oh, we just want the best for you. Oh, we just want you to grow. Oh, we just want you to be more Christ-like. But really what they're saying is, I'm more holy than you. I'm more righteous than you. I'm more spiritual than you. I can worship better than you can. And they want to show you a red card. You know what their problem is? Paul says in verse 19, they are not holding fast to the head. They've lost connection with Christ. So these people who try to tell you that you can know you're a follower of Christ, these people who tell you that you know that you're a true follower of Jesus because you have these experiences, they've lost connection with Jesus. Because our assurance and our confidence is not based on what we experience or how we experience. You know, there's a Bible teacher and a pastor in America, and he says this: I have been accused by many people of being void of the Holy Spirit because I've never spoken in tongues. Being void of the Holy Spirit because I do not recognize that some are saying the Spirit is doing this and that in miracles. And if I don't acknowledge that, then I just quench the Spirit of God. That I am somehow the enemy of the Spirit of God and therefore void of his influence and his power in my life. I need to open to deeper experience. I need to be open to higher experiences. That I need to open to more spiritual realities. I've had strange conversations with people who tell me that Jesus talks to them. They talk to Jesus and ask me if I've ever had these kind of personal conversations. And they shake their heads at this poor, deprived guy that I am. Because I've never seen Jesus at the sitting on my bed and had these experiences. There are people who talk about conversations they have with angels and conversations they have with the Lord and the things the Lord says to them. And when I'm asked, I say, no. But God speaks to me. He speaks to me every day. He speaks to me every time I open my Bible. And he speaks crystal clear. I know what he's saying. People were trying to tell this pastor, this Bible teacher, that he wasn't a believer. He wasn't a full believer. Because why? He hadn't had the same experiences that they had. They were trying to rob him of what God had done for him. You see, that then it sort of brings up the other thing, isn't it? And this is also, and this happened, and I suppose I can relate to it a bit, this happened when the Toronto thing, you might not remember it. What were people really doing? They were seeking an experience. They were seeking something to give them some kind of confirmation, something to make valid what they believed. And Paul says, why? Why? Why do you do it? Why do you want to seek after an experience? Now, if the experience comes along, great. But not to seek it and not to get some kind of, that makes my faith valid. Your faith is not made valid by an experience. Your faith is only made valid by what Jesus did on the cross, by giving you life and by forgiving you. You know, Jesus gave us a great parable that sort of explains this. And it's in Luke 18. And you remember it when two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you, I'm not like people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance, couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to the house justified. See the difference? The one who thought he was so good because he did the externals. He tithed and he fasted. But his heart weren't right. Whereas the tax collector, he knew he was a sinner. And that's the problem with the church today, folks. There are too many who think, look at me, aren't I great? In a humble way, of course. And they do it. And they want people to copy them. And they want people to think, oh, I'm glad I'm not like those Methodists or Baptists who ain't got a clue about the Spirit. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like them. And then the Methodists say, well, I'm glad I'm not like those charismatics. They've got no sense of order. Because they're all beginning to look at what's external and not what's internal. Because that's what God wants when we worship. That's what God wants when we come. And that's where, that when our spirit bears witness, when his spirit bears witness to our spirits, that's when we know we're a child of God, not because of some experiences that we've had. And then there's another way. Not to allow people to judge you. Not to let people make your mind up for you that you're not a Christian. They don't base it on what the Bible says. Oh, they might give it in lovely, spiritual, biblical language. But Paul says there, you know, people will come and say, don't eat, don't touch. What does that mean? He's not talking about the dietary rules because he's not talking about that. He's talking about man made up rules. This is how you know. So in my day and age, I'm going to show my age. This is how you know you're a Christian, a follower of Christ. Ladies, don't wear makeup. Don't wear trousers. That's bad. Men, I'm just trying to think what they said about the men, actually. Men don't go to a pub. Men and women don't drink, don't smoke. Now, there might be goodness or have good reasons behind. Well, so did the Pharisees when they added stuff. But they're still just the rules and laws of man. They're not the rules and laws of God. And the trouble is, depending on what church you go to, depending what denomination you belong to, you might believe you're not a Christian because you do or don't do something they said you should or shouldn't do. And Paul says, this doesn't make sense. If you've died with Christ and live with Christ, you are dead to this kind of things, or you should be. And yet we allow people to pass judgment on us, and sometimes we might be the ones passing the judgment. Have you ever thought, look at that person dressed, they can't be a Christian. That's what Paul's getting at. Because we don't know what's on the inside. We don't know if they've got life and been forgiven. Because the external does not always tell you what the internal is like. Now, I'm a great believer that what is on the internal will change the external. I'm a great believer in that. But we shouldn't just look at the external and make judgment. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, we live in a day and age in which, as I said, with social media, we allow a lot of criticism, judgment. And Paul says there are some things you shouldn't be allowing people to judge you on. Whether you keep the Sabbath, whether you keep feasts, don't let anybody judge you on that. Spiritual experience, whether you've had them or you haven't had them, don't let anybody judge you on that. Man-made rules and regulations about what it means to be a Christian, don't let anybody judge you on that. Don't get a red card for that. So I then began to think, have I judged people concerning Moses? I don't think I have, actually. Have I allowed people to judge me concerning? I don't think I have. But have I allowed judgment concerning spiritual experience? I have. I've allowed myself to think, wow, I better get baptized in the Spirit and speak in tongues, because otherwise I wouldn't have victory in my life. You know, when you're 18, 19, people tell you things. Have I judged people concerning the spiritual spirit? Yes, because I wondered why they didn't speak in tongues. I think, well, they can't be. They've been all these years a Christian, haven't had that experience. Oh, come on. Paul is just saying, there are some things we just got to get on with each other and love each other, grow together. Because he also said that it's God that gives the growth. We're the ones who are sort of knitted together. Have I allowed people to judge? So have I judged people with manned up laws while being in Brethren and Wesleyan churches? The answer is a big fat yes. Because they had a rule book. A big fat rule book. That what you could or couldn't do. And if you could or couldn't do, that meant you weren't a Christian. They didn't allow people to grow. They made no allowances. Have I allowed people to judge me? Well, yeah. Yeah. Because I went to a pub to minister to people. Then I stopped because I was judged by people. Do you see? Do you see how Paul is very relevant? Because he wants us to live for God. He wants us to live for Jesus. And he was aware that there were forces at work. There's more than just this, but one of the schemes is this: to get you to think you're not a Christian. To get you to think you're not a follower because you do this or you don't do this. Or because you've had this experience or you haven't. And he just wants us to live. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, next time, just in case you think, well, we can do as we please then. Paul, in the very next chapter, says, therefore, and when you see a therefore, you've got to see what it's...
therefore.
Yeah. He then gives a list of characteristics which should not be in our lives and a list of characters which should be. So what he's saying is, this stuff, don't let anybody judge you. But there is stuff that does come under it. And we shall see next time what those characteristics are we shouldn't have if we're true believers, and what those characteristics are that we should have if we're true believers, but they're not man-made, they're God-made, and that's the difference. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we are set free. We thank you that Jesus was victorious on the cross, and Father, we just pray that we will not allow anyone to disqualify us from our walk with you. Whether it's to do with the dietary laws and holy days and Sabbaths, or whether it's to do with spiritual experience, or whether it's to do with man-made laws of do's and don'ts. Father, we pray that we will be a people that walk in the Spirit. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Father, forgive us when we judge and allow ourselves to be judged. For you do not disqualify us. You do not send us off. You love us. You forgive us. And you have given us life. And being in love with Jesus is the only evidence that we need that we are followers of you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, can I just thank you for that message? Of all the messages that you've given to your servants,